This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a podcast of Checkpoint on Joy 94.9.
G'day cheekies, you're hanging out on Checkpoint across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and Australia on the Community Radio Network, giving a one-up to diversity in video dash games. We're a weekly broadcast looking a little bit closer, maybe a little bit too intimately sometimes, into one of the most exciting industries in the world, the video game industry. From a uniquely queer perspective, who would have guessed? My name is Jack, behind the desk or in front of the desk, depends on how you're looking, where you're looking from, and I'm opposite. Elliot, hello.
Hi, Jack. How are you doing?
I am feeling.
Yeah.
And, Haley, how you going?
I'm pretty good. Kind of here for this weird energy you're bringing
today.
Oh,
dude. You think this is weird? Every week. Every week I'm on. Let's go. We are going to be getting into a few different things. We've got some news to look into this week. That's what's coming up in the show. The big news headlines. We also have a topic discussion around... Not the Konami code, that's intimate. Go and check that out, guys, obviously. It is around diversity in the video game industry. It's like we do this every week.
I mean, look, it's a big thing for us here at Joy, obviously, as a queer-focused radio station. But, yeah, I think it's really important for us to sometimes focus on certain aspects of the game industry. Mm. And today, I think we want to take aim more specifically at...
What's
game developers and, you know, rather than just the characters within video games, the people surrounding the industry that make video games and check out the diversity in those areas. So
we're going to very much go into the nitty gritty. We got a lot of numbers here. We're not going to bore you with like news reading. As much as you might be into that, you're not getting that on this episode for long. And then we're going to dive a little bit deeper later on as to why it's important, because like a lot of people are like, why... Women in the industry. Why? And we're like, whoa, hang on. Let's talk, okay?
Women? Why?
What a quote. That is what's coming up on the show this week. Be sure to hit us up, though. Slide right into our DMs. We are on social media. Elliot, what are we on social media?
So at our Facebook page, you can hit us up with Checkpoint Gaming. On our Twitter or Instagram, we are at CheckpointAU. Let us know what you think about the topic and your thoughts on female game developers or just diversity within the game industry in general. We'd love to hear your thoughts.
I don't know. It's kind of a weird vibe being the only female in the room.
No, you've got the most impact.
Do I?
On this show, when you talk, we shut up.
That's
power you have.
I know for a fact that's not true, but okay.
You're also within eyeshot of everyone on the show at this point, because there are times where it's like we have so many people that it's hard to keep track of who wants to talk, and it's like it's pretty hard to screw that up. So that's what's coming up. Please slide right into our DMs. We're going to be talking about diversity in gaming later on, but first let's talk about what we've been playing.
Fiddling with joysticks and smashing the D-pad.
Tell us, have you been playing with yourself?
Oh, I've been playing with myself real hard.
Oh,
and
no.
We all have been, God. I feel.
That sound bite, that one.
It's the first episode that I'm hosting, and of course there are plenty of sound bites.
Yeah. He just brings a weird horny energy to it. That's great.
Not only horny, there are plenty of other weird energies that I bring, okay? I'm not going to... Because I'm going to think a little bit about what I've been playing, because I'm the fake gamer here, but you two are very much real gamers. Gamers with a Z.
I don't know what the difference is between a fake gamer and a real gamer, but I like that I'm on the real side of things, I suppose.
What have you been playing, Elliot?
Okay, so for me this week has been... a lot of involvement with a game called Blood Roots. Now, Blood Roots sounds
someone
like,
say weird horny energy? Like,
yeah, it sounds like some kind of demonic, like, cultist, flesh-sacrificey...
I think if you're having a blood root, you should probably go see a doctor.
That's a good point. However, if you're playing Blood Roots, the video game, you'll actually be having a blast. So this is a game that is in the kind of... I guess you'd call it like a Hotline Miami... style to it, in which I'm talking like
top down
Yes, top down, but also not at this quite same perspective. It's a bit pulled behind the character,
right,
too.
Cool.
But it's this one-hit kill melee combat system,
right,
where you're running through. It's really fast-paced, high energy. You're running through these set levels, and you're basically playing the game like a dance or a flow, right? Because you move through these levels, and it's all combo-based and score-based,
yep,
and you're the whole element of Bloodroots that makes it different from other games in this style is the weaponry is unique and crazy and consistently different.
Is it all melee?
It's primarily all melee, but there are ranged weapons as well.
Cool.
But basically, your weapons will break after one or two uses, so you're constantly running around the environment, picking up new weapons, swapping out things, attacking enemies, learning enemy attack patterns, and just breezing through these levels. There's a lot of verticality to the game as well, unlike Hotline Miami, so you'll be jumping over people.
There is a third dimension.
Yeah, there is a third dimension in video games.
We can explore it.
But yeah, it really is this kind of arcade, high score, leaderboard style game, but it's got a lot of style to it as well, and I think that's what really hooked me to Bloodroots. It's a very, very stylish game, whether that's just the animation quality, the visuals, or the way the game kind of slows down and gives you a kill cam of the final dude that you're killing.
I love
in
that.
This unique way, depending on whatever weapon you happen to be holding at the time, it'll give you some unique death animation that's really cool. I think some of the problems I'm having with Deathroots actually involve the platforming elements, the verticality that we were just talking about.
Because it's a top-down-ish game, but
yes,
platforming.
100%.
What could go wrong?
Well, that's the problem.
Literally everything.
The game is so fast and floaty, and the movement is so fast, and unfortunately, the perspective you're playing from, the depth of field and being able to judge these things isn't 100%. So as soon as you're asked to do any kind of platforming, I don't feel in control anymore. And control is so important to a game like this because that's what it is. You're going for high scores.
Control
by
remedy.
It's competitive by nature, and you want to be in control and feel like you're really playing. So that is unfortunately the one element of this game that didn't gel with me, is some of those platforming elements. But having said that, I still had a lot of fun with it. It's just one of those chaotic, cathartic,
dumb fun,
violent games that you just run through, and I'm having a lot of fun.
I'm going to say that you've definitely described a lot of the chaotic parts of it very, very well, but I will say the visual style is a complete departure from Hotline Miami.
Oh, absolutely.
It almost vibe, I get more of like a Torchlight 2 sort of vibe from it.
I think that's fair. I mean, it's that kind of cartoony visuals, but also juxtaposed with the ultra violence of what's happening on screen.
Makes you feel better about it.
Yeah, it feels like Torchlight 2 meets like indie comics.
Okay,
kind of headlopper, if you've heard of that.
I don't know what that is, but I'm going to take your word for it.
We don't read.
Oh,
does comic books count as reading? I don't know.
This one thing I saw on Facebook the other Thursday.
Jack, official himbo, you heard it here first.
But yeah,
they heard it here first.
That is Bloodroots, and I would recommend it, actually.
PC exclusive?
I've been playing it on the PC, but it's exclusive to the Epic Game Store on PC. I'm not 100% sure if it's a PC exclusive.
Righto. Mm. Interesting. There's a Steam page up, but I'm not sure if it's actually on Steam, so that's fun.
No, it's not on Steam yet.
RIP. Hayley, what have you been playing?
I've been busy with work lately, so I haven't had much time to play video games.
No,
but
fun
I've been
allowed.
Taking advantage of the Switch and its portability.
Switch.
I can't click.
Switch.
Jack's really good at it, though.
I've been doing it since 2017. We do it a lot on the show. We do it a lot on New Game Plus.
Goddamn. But so I've been taking advantage of that and playing like Dragon Quest and Castle Crashers just on the go whenever
Castle
I can.
Crashers, God.
Castle Crashers is so good, right?
It is a beat 'em up. It is a side-scrolling beat 'em up. Arcadey as hell.
Four-player.
Dumb fun.
So good.
Mess with your friends.
Yeah, absolutely. Mess with your friends.
Just the silliest. It's fun. It's great to play on your own. It's great to play with friends. I particularly love running around as the Pink Knight for very obvious reasons.
The Pink Knight's magic is fantastic.
Oh, yeah. It's all sunshine
and
rainbows.
It's literal rainbows, yeah.
And it's just like murder them with kindness, and I'm here for it. The blacksmith's kind of fun too.
Me working in customer service. Yeah, the blacksmith is kind of fun as well. I feel like what characters aren't fun in that game, honestly?
Yeah. Like
they're all weird and stupid. Some are easier to play than others for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Which Dragon Quest game were you playing on Switch as well?
11.
I mean, they're all insanely long and big and intimidating and terrifying.
I mean, I haven't played much of Dragon Quest because I stopped the game just after the kind of midway point.
Right.
That point where you're in all the Dragon Quest games where you kind of transition into the dark world. And I'm running around as Sylvander or whatever the hell his name is. The kind of incredibly fey luchador kind of character.
Righto.
And it's just like, I can't remember what the hell I was supposed to be doing. So I spent a couple of hours just running around this town playing as this character and then kind of stopped and been like, I'm going to play Castle Crashers instead.
I think that's fair. I mean, that's a good transition. Dragon Quest to Castle Crashers.
Literally at odds. You could not get more at odds with each other. Dragon Quest on one end, 100-hour minimum RPG, and then some arcade beat-em-up stuff.
Well, I mean, the arcade beat-em-up stuff's more like perfect for on the go kind of thing. When I'm like sitting on the train at like midnight coming home from work and being like, okay, well, I'm tired and I can't pay attention to what is going on in Dragon Quest. Because like I wanted to play through it because I watched like Dragon Quest Your Story and was like, yes, this is so good. But then I was like, oh yeah, no wait, it's a Dragon Quest game and I have to like be paying attention to the story.
About our fake gamer friend?
What are you playing, fake weeb?
I will say, I've also gotten Captain Toad Treasure Tracker special episode. So it's basically DLC for Captain Toad. Captain Toad is honestly, it's almost my favorite. I think it is my favorite game for Switch. Ooh. I love it so much.
Wow.
Because
big call.
It's puzzle, it's platformer, it's adorable, and it's not stressful like literally every other game. Like, I can take it at my own pace. You could not say the same for Zelda Breath of the Wild, some parts of Mario Odyssey, especially if you're like, I gotta get that moon over there, I swear to God, like, I'm getting that. Captain Toad, it's like, dude, you can sit there and just rotate the map for 3 hours and just be like, oh, now I get it. Yeah, cool.
That's the one where they built the actual little dioramas in real life, right?
Oh, yeah. In real life. Oh. I don't know if they did it in real life.
Apparently, yeah. That's what I heard. Like, so when they were pitching the game, they built the actual dioramas.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, that's cute.
To actually pitch what the idea was.
That's such a cute story.
Oh, it's so good.
But yeah, I've been playing that a little bit on my phone as well. An Apple Arcade game that I'm revisiting is, what is it called? Pinball Wizard. Basically, where you play, it's pinball, but roguelike, and the ball is you, ooh, and you're a wizard.
See, this sounds like
a journey.
Like I kind of know this is a really weird reference to a Who song, but also like kind of here for
it. I felt like I went through the entire like M. Night Shyamalan plot in like 3 bullet points. And the pinball is you, and you're a wizard.
And the pinball is you, and you're a wizard. That's absolute. Look, absolutely check it out. If you've got an iPhone, if you've got an iPad, get heckin' Apple Arcade. I love it so much. That's what we've been playing. You're hanging out on Checkpoint. Coming up soon, we got the news of the week.
Listen!
Want to keep up with the latest gaming news, reviews, previews, and more? Check out our website, checkpointgaming.net. That's checkpointgaming.net. Achievement unlocked.
That's right. Be sure to check us out on the website, checkpointgaming.net. You're hanging out on Checkpoint, and guess what? It's time for the news.
Here we go!
With the games industry constantly evolving and exciting new things around every corner, it can be hard to keep up.
That's why Checkpoint is here with all the biggest gaming details of the week and the stories that matter to you. It's time for the news.
Yeah, that's right. It's heckin' news time. Elliot, the Xbox Series X is what I meant to say there, has some new features that we didn't know about before.
Well, apparently. The problem with the Xbox and all of these, the information that's coming along is, I swear, so much of it has been leaked that it's like trying to remember what was officially announced by Microsoft and trying to remember what was revealed in leaks.
So wait, is this official?
This is official.
Okay, cool.
Things have finally happened, and for the longest time, we were mocking both Xbox and PlayStation for not revealing anything except logos and stuff like that. But whatever.
Xbox revealed the fridge.
They did. They showed us what it looked like. So
they showed us the Xbox. It's fine.
Exactly.
The triple Xbox.
Yeah.
But now they've finally kind of revealed some features that are going to be a part of the Xbox Series X when it launches in holiday of this year, including functions like Quick Resume, which is something that is already available on consoles. I only own the Switch, but I know it's available on Switch. Mm. For instance, all current-gen consoles apparently have this, but it's a functionality that lets you just when you pause your game, you quit out of it, you go back to the home screen, you go through the store, you do your socials or whatever. But then when you go back to the game, it's just instant. You're already back in the game.
Yeah.
You might be on a pause menu, but you close that and you keep playing. It's this immediate quick resume. But what the Series X is going to do is have simultaneous or multiple quick resumes going, where you can have like 10 different games all paused at this moment, and you can go back to any single one of them at any time, and it'll quick resume that game right from that point, even if you had turned off the console and rebooted it.
See, I kind of want to put this through a stress test, just to have like 100 games going to see like if I can explode this console.
Well, I mean, I think the point of it is that it will load the memory of the system into the hard drive, so you won't necessarily explode it. You will fill your hard drive up pretty fast.
God damn it!
But like,
which is already a problem for these freaking consoles.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's going to be solid state storage from what we know. But
yes,
exactly,
for faster load times.
Probably don't do that early.
My the biggest regret is that some of these consoles coming out are going to be better than my high end PC that I only built like last year. So
I don't think that they will be. Like, not to discredit the consoles, I'm sure they're going to be fantastic, but there's no way you can spend $2,000 on a PC and it to be worse than whatever $600 machine they're putting together.
See, there's my problem. I only spent $1,500, so of course it's not going to be as good.
What are your PC's flops, though? Tell us about
how many flops do you have?
Your teraflops, bro.
My teraflops?
I don't know.
I have so many flops.
There are so many
flops. Too many flops. It's all flops.
Someone asked me, like, do you even know what flops mean? And I'm like, I actually do. So, like, now
I actually don't.
Oh. Floating point operation. It's basically a math. Oh. It's just a math thing.
Anybody else get a bit excited when he said that?
Oh, Tara. Oh,
tell me.
Flops.
Tell me about your flops, Jack.
I'm not telling you about my flops. You can tell me about backwards compatibility. Elliot.
Okay, so obviously backwards compatibility is another feature that has been within a lot of consoles in the past. The cool thing...
Not the PS4. Soak.
Yeah, exactly. But the cool thing about the Xbox Series X is that backwards compatibility is going all the way back to the original Xbox. They've found a way to have a lot of different backwards compatibility options for the Series X, and they're really pushing this as a core feature for this machine, which is cool. A pet peeve is when developers or console manufacturers are trying to charge people twice for the same content, and backwards compatibility is a way to say, hey, no, that's not fair. Let's design our machine to just innately be able to run these older games. That's really cool that Microsoft is ensuring that extra step has been taken to be pro-consumer.
Like, on the one hand, I'm so here for it because, like, there's a lot of stuff that was on the Xbox 360 that were great to play and great to play through and everything like that.
Yep.
But, you know, you can't touch that stuff anymore. Like, Persona 4 Ultimax, that was a great fighting game, but it's just not available
literally
anywhere
no
else.
One remembers that exists. You're like, let's talk about fighting games. Like, what is Persona 4 Ultimax? And I'm like, it was the weird, like, spin-off fighting game. Story wasn't that good. But
no,
like,
the story was terrible.
It was terrible.
It was an Arxis story fighting game.
I know.
Like, they're going to be terrible.
That's not what you're there for.
But has, like, any fighting game ever had a good storyline?
Also,
there have been some.
Street Fighter.
What was the Smash Brothers Brawl? No.
Let's not get into subspace emissary, please.
Yeah.
So, like, but, like, jokes on, like, gamers like myself who, like, traded in all those games to get a new console.
How dare you be poor?
Yeah, how dare I be poor?
That's literal.
Like, how dare I not hoard my games like a dragon?
PS4 for the players that have enough money to also hold onto their PS3 and afford a PS4.
Yeah.
That's actually what their, like, promo thing is sure for. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But I actually, I okay, this is now going on guesswork, because when Microsoft made these reveals, they're not revealing every single dot point of information. Mm-hmm. It's mostly just headlines, right? But I imagine those discs that you traded in, those aren't backwards compatible. It's the digital games you purchase on older systems that remain within your library.
Oh, no.
That are backwards compatible. That's my guess.
Nah. I fully expect. Well, I mean, the discs for 360, as much as the game disc data isn't necessarily being used, you can still use that as a license to play the game on your Xbox One. So they, and same with the original Xbox. You put an original Xbox game in, it's just a DVD.
Yes.
Blu-ray
exactly.
drives can still read DVDs.
Yep.
So I think that that's going to be totally fine. If there is 360 back compat, if you are playing a 360 game on your Xbox One now, it will work fine on Xbox Series.
There you
so
go.
Does this mean like an entire like secondhand market is going to spring up again with all these like past Xbox and Xbox 360 games?
No.
It's coming, showing up.
There were not that many Xbox original games. There were, I mean, a lot of them weren't manufactured in big volumes. But also, like, we're seeing retailers not even accept old-gen games at this point. So, there's not that much demand, unless you want to go on Facebook Market or Gumtree.
And we better talk about smart delivery, which is the other feature, and probably the most interesting one. And this is one that allows your Xbox One, if you purchase a game for your Xbox One, if it's a first-party game, it'll innately operate on the Xbox Series X.
Mm.
So, this means that, you know, all these games that are coming and releasing soon will, like, there's no reason to hesitate to purchase them. If you're one of those people who's like, well, I'm getting a Series X, so I'm going to wait for that to release before I buy games for it because I don't want to buy those games twice. Well, no, Smart Delivery handles that for you. If you purchase Halo Infinite for the Xbox One, you'll get Halo Infinite for the Series X.
On the Xbox Store?
Yeah, well, wherever.
Well, it's just like, if you buy the disc, does that mean that you won't actually be able to play it on the new console?
No, you can, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
So, this kind of ties into the Cyberpunk 2077 recently announcing that if you buy the Xbox One edition, you'll be able to play it on the Xbox One.
Exactly. Right. And that's the cooler part about this Series X. Even though it innately works for first-party games, third-party developers can totally opt in. They can tick a box and basically say, yes, we're 100% happy for this to take place, and our games will be just in that. That's the cool thing about the Series X is it's this iterative upgrade, much like a PC would be, where all the old stuff still totally works for the new hardware. There's nothing extra people have to do. If they want to put extra work into making it look prettier because, you know, the hardware is better and they can do that now, they can go to that effort, but they don't have to. It just kind of works already. So, a lot of developers we might see do exactly what Cyberpunk has done and said, yeah, fine.
We'll opt in.
Yeah. Cool. Totally opt in.
A lot of stuff there around Xbox Series X. Also, on the event front, GDC and PAX East. GDC is the game developer conference. It's taking place March 16th to the 20th in San Francisco in the US. And a lot of individuals and companies have been pulling out due to coronavirus concerns.
This is huge. Now, we've talked about the coronavirus on air a few weeks back, but this feels like a whole nother level to that conversation. A lot of our talks previously were about, you know, manufacturing and delays and stuff like this. But what we're seeing right now is a genuine mass exodus from all these gaming events that are coming up. GDC, I wrote it down. The people who have pulled out of GDC currently at the time of recording include Epic Games, PlayStation, EA, Microsoft, Unity, Oculus, Kojima Productions, and PUBG Corp, and probably a lot more as well. These are just the ones that I saw headlines for. So much so that people are basically saying, well, GDC is cancelled. It's not that far away, and I have no doubt in my mind that we could be seeing, in the next day or two, GDC officially say, no, the event is cancelled, because who's going to go to an event like this if there's nobody presenting?
There are still plenty of smaller individuals, I imagine. Yes. A lot of people get, for instance, stipends from organizations like FilmVic to be able to go over and try and develop their career further. So, I think there are still a lot of reasons for devs potentially, or people involved in the industry in any capacity, really, to go to GDC. I think it would be insane as an event coordinator to say, not many people are coming, let's cancel the event. Because in reality, the biggest thing you're paying for is probably the venue, and they're not going to let you cancel.
Oh, they've lost. They're losing. If they cancel this, they're losing a boatload of money. That's just a fact, but I don't know what else to do, because so many people are going to ask for refunds. So many people are... Like, the event is going to be an absolute shell of its former self, and at some point, they've got to pull the plug, right?
Because on one hand, you don't want to be like, okay, we're pulling the plug, and then everyone loses the essential hype engine that GDC turns into. But on the other hand... no one wants a DashCon situation where it's basically just a couple of tables and a ball pit.
Let's go to the ball pit, guys. Pack it in. Look, it is concerning around GDC. Very quickly as well, a little bit closer to home, game development funding is available now if you are a developer in Queensland. Screen Queensland are taking applications for games finance funding. Queenslanders can apply for a grant of up to $50,000 towards development. Previous games include Blueberry for Mellow Games, Capes from Defiant Development, quite a number of different projects as well. So if you happen to be a developer, if you're listening to us on the CRN or indeed on iTunes, Spotify, or literally anywhere on the internet,
yes,
I would recommend, highly recommend reaching out to Screen Queensland or reaching out to anyone else you know in the industry to try and figure out how to go about trying to get that support.
It is very cool to see these kind of official government organizations taking on video games,
Film
giving
been
grants.
Doing it for years, they decades.
Have.
Mm.
Phil Vix has been doing a good job, but there's always more to do. Mm. And I don't know personally the Queensland scene that well. I know that that's probably our second biggest conglomerate of video game developers up there. So definitely support your devs, like support the industry and help it grow. Like, I'm glad this is happening.
It's definitely an industry that needs more government support. So it's kind of really good to see these kind of grants coming along.
It'd be really nice if Screen Australia got their stuff sorted and actually gave us some funding again.
Oh,
that'd be
like,
nice.
The arts, they're not important.
We don't have an arts,
ScoMo said so.
We don't have an arts minister from what I recall.
Yeah,
so I feel...
have an arts to
super chill about that. I feel awesome. That is the news of this week. You're hanging out on Checkpoint. We're going to be talking about diversity in the video game industry real soon.
You've been listening to a Joycast of Checkpoint on Joy 94.9. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.